You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
People in this country, when you mention the name of the city, your thoughts immediately go to them. Memphis, Elvis, New Orleans, our favorite former member of the Louisiana House of Representatives, one-time Republican gubernatorial nominee. It's, of course, David Duke, and he's back on the program tonight for an extended interview, I'm happy to say, that's going to cover everything from current events to fitness. And let me tell you something about this man that I have known for now nearly two decades. He stands for freedom and self-determination for all people, truly an advocate for human diversity and freedom, but that freedom must include the freedom and the diversity that includes European Americans. He stands for our people, and that, of course, is the classic hypocrisy. Members issue advocacy organizations for any group, creed, ethnic origin, you name it. That's all well and good, not only allowed but encouraged, but don't you dare insist that whites should have those same rights. If you do, you will be called everything but a child of God. But there has been a man out there that has had success greater than most will ever know and has been attacked because of that success, and he's a good friend of mine. David Duke, welcome back to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's great to be with you after quite a while, but I used to live in a house in New Orleans.
Well, they wrote that song about you. That was the Animals, no doubt about it. Well, anyway,
Right.
It is great to have you back. It's been a few months since we've had you on, and I'm glad we can rectify that situation tonight. So let's just start there, if we could. So you surveyed the landscape now a few months into about a half a year, I guess, into the Biden administration. You look around. What do you see? What's your take on America on this evening in mid-May?
I see trouble on the horizon. I see a bad moon arising. That's what I see. How is our connection? Are we coming in clear and strong?
You're sounding better than ever. So we're loud and clear. And
I see like the Creedence Clearwater. Creedence Clearwater used to say, "I can't talk tonight. I just came from
CCR,
the gym a few minutes
yes.
ago." But anyway, like Creedence used to say, you know, there's a bad moon rising, no question about it. I mean, the Biden administration is really encapsulating all of our fears and then some, because they are really just going all out to take away every last right we have in this country.
All right, you know, we talked on the phone.
Control the election process where they... Well, they're not even going to require an voter ID. Now, why would they do that?
Right,
I mean, obviously, blacks use IDs to buy liquor, you know, to drive a car, to get an airplane. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what are they trying to do? The only reason they could possibly not want ID to be used in voting, and the only reason why they want a complete control over all the local voting is they want to break the law like they did in the last election, because this was not a free and fair election. We know that they broke the election laws of this country on a massive level. We know that in these swing states and key counties and areas, they would not allow what the law provides, which is clear and transparent voting checks. One of the basic rules is that all people of all parties and all candidates have the right to have observers to count the votes. Now, when you vote at a precinct or when you vote directly, as you know, anybody that's voted knows this, when you vote live and in person, you go in there, you present your driver's license, or you give your name, and then they check your voter's registration. You sign it, they check your signature, and the other observers are there doing it. And by the way, any country of the world, the way that you can tell a free and fair election is the fact that you have observers. Impartial observers are observers for both partisan sides, and they know the votes are being counted. But they didn't do that in the last election. They counted unbelievable numbers of votes without any oversight. This is proven. They would not allow poll watchers in there, and you can't have a free election when you don't have observation. And the only supposition you can do is that they're rigging the election, because why wouldn't they allow poll watchers? And of course, when you have ballots coming in the mail, you've got to have a process where people look at the people who are opening the ballots, recording the ballots, checking the names, checking it, that they're on the rolls, checking that the ballot is filled out properly, checking that it's not a fake or fraudulent ballot. And if you don't do that, and you can't validate that, and you don't have an independent observer doing that, and this was not allowed on a massive level, you have a fraudulent election. And that's the check that we have in America. That's a check all over the world. In fact, this goes on all over the world. There was international observers in Syria. And, you know, they had international observers counting the ballots and looking at the ballots and observing the ballots when Assad was running in Syria. And there was no election fraud. They had a freer election in Syria, the country that they're always trying to attack and to criticize, than they had in the United States of America this time, last time.
There's so much I want to get to you about, you know, we could have gone a full 3 hours tonight, and I wouldn't have scratched it all. But let me ask you this very quickly, with about a minute remaining. We were talking about this on the phone a couple of days ago, and there were a noticeable minority of pro-white advocates who were advocating for Biden, who voted for Biden over Trump. What would you say to them today?
Well, I would say you were wrong. Even though Trump has been a disappointment to us in many ways, and his Mideast policy has really been a mistake. And let me tell you something, what's going on in Israel, anybody who thinks that Israel is doing right against the Palestinians or that we got the right policy in the Middle East, Israel is not our ally. Israel has attacked this country. Israel has attacked the USS Liberty, killed. It's just crazy. They killed a number of Americans. They killed 175 were wounded on the Liberty. They knew it was an American ship. Israel has actually, they had the worst spy in the American history, which was the Jonathan Pollard spy. Israel is not our ally.
Hang on right there, my friend. I hear the music playing in the background. We're still integrating a new sound system here in the studio. And I hear it very, very faintly, Mr. Producer. There it is. But I knew it was there. We're going to take a break with Representative David Duke. We'll be back with him
for more than an hour. You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, train pulls out of Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you?
I know the last time I was down in the city of New Orleans, who I was visiting with and where we were, this little coffee shop on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain. Ladies and gentlemen, I have told this story before, but I think it's worth repeating. Well, first of all, not many people in this country have been attacked more than yours truly, but our guest tonight has, and he's been at it for twice as long, if not longer, almost 50 years as a champion for our people. When the media attacks me, one of the things they like to mention is that David Duke has been a guest on this program, and I always tell them, I say, listen, I don't mind you mentioning that, but I'd like for you to be clear with your audience for this smear piece that not only has he been a guest, he is a very close personal friend that we break bread together at each other's homes. He's a friend of my family. And he became
forget,
a friend.
Me too.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the fitness segment in the next hour. That's for sure. But listen, loyalty is big for me. And when a man proves himself to me, listen, you can read lies, you can read smears, you can read a caricature of a person or of a man, but get to know the person, get to know what they believe. And if you have the opportunity, the privilege to know them personally, if they prove themselves to you, never betray them. I will not betray anyone, not anyone in this audience, not any of our guests, not any of my friends. I give that loyalty to David Duke. I give it to you, my friends, in this listening audience. And that's how you know who you can trust in the end. When the shooting starts, when things go sideways, you want to be with people who have shown honor and courage under fire and will not betray a brother. And that's with that being said, David Duke back on the show tonight. Listen, big news obviously this week, just the last week. Wow, it's really flared up in the Middle East again. Israel and Gaza, what's going on over there?
Could you hear that cough? Well, what's going on is it's unbelievable. They're doing to the Palestinians exactly what they're ultimately planning to do to us. And the reason why they're able to do this to the Palestinians is because they have occupied our country, not with the numbers that they have in Palestine yet, but they've occupied our media. They've occupied our academia. They've occupied our banking system. And they've occupied our politics. They absolutely, the Zionists control American politics. And I can show you, I can go to the records of the American Federal Election Commission, and you can start looking at the amount of money. So I'll give you an example to show you their power. And the Democratic Party, in their presidential nomination process, they had, actually, it was kind of pretty interesting. They had three Jews running out of 22 people. And those three Jews, which were Bernie Sanders, also it was Steyer and Bloomberg, they spent seven times. They had seven times the money that the other 19 candidates had. Had seven times more than the entire other rest of the field had. Can believe it or not. And the money that Steyer spent and Bloomberg spent, you know, the two biggest spenders, and also Bernie Sanders, for that matter, the former radical communist revolutionary. He was an elector for the Socialist Workers Party, whose patron saint was Leon Trotsky. That was the first head of the Red Army that killed millions of Christians in Russia. But those three people, those three Jews, had seven times the amount of money as the entire rest of the Democratic field. And we're talking about all the rest of the candidates, including Biden, including all of those people. So, I mean, that's power. In the American side of it, I call it the American side or America First side of it, the biggest single contributor on the Trump side, the biggest single contributor was Sheldon Adelson. That was an insurance policy, though, because there's no question that the Jewish elite was absolutely behind the Biden administration, and they hated Trump. Now, they obviously didn't hate Trump because Trump gave a lot of lip service to Israel, which he did, and I wish he wouldn't have, because, again, the Jewish elite is the elite in this country that's been behind communism. It's been behind our foreign policy that's got us in these crazy wars that have not helped this country, but have damaged this country terribly. We've got a million veterans that are suffering. There were no weapons of mass destruction. They've sent trillions of our dollars and spent trillions of our dollars in these wars. It's just impossible. And they have led the entire movement in this country for destroying traditional heterogeneous marriage. They have absolutely promoted getting our children, boys and girls, chemically castrated, or actually having little boys' reproductive organs chopped off, and young girls' breasts chopped off. I hate to be so graphic about it, but that's just the way it is. And it's just unbelievably insane, the stuff that's going on in this country. It's just incredible. And the Jewish elite has led all of it, including communism. And of course, that's where I probably got my earliest start. My father was a pretty ardent anti-communist. He's a former colonel in the army. And I can tell you one thing. I learned at a very early age, not from my dad, actually, but I learned at a very early age the Jewish role in communism. One of my idols, in fact, was long before I met him. I never dreamed that I would meet the man. One of the greatest patriots and fighters for human rights in the history of the world, that's of course, Solzhenitsyn. And Solzhenitsyn, I read his main book, Gulag, I had read his books, A Day in the Life, and many other books about the horrors of Soviet communism. And I remember being a student at LSU, going to the LSU library, a very prestigious, powerful, great library, one of the biggest and best college libraries in the country. And there on the banned book table was Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book. It was on the banned book table because it was a book that was banned in the Soviet Union, and it was banned in, of course, a lot of Eastern Europe. And I read it, and he talked about the Jewish leadership behind communism. And it was shocking to me. And but, of course, I knew some of that then, but Solzhenitsyn just brought it home. Later, what I could never have dreamed then, I never dreamed I'd get the chance to meet him and actually work with him some, and I just was so shocked that ultimately I didn't ever realize that my books and that America would and Europe would ban thousands of more books than the Soviets ever banned. And they have books now that are by American authors and fantastic books by the thousands, which are popular books by people who are even just mild conservatives, but anybody who's telling the truth about these things, and they're being banned. In fact, my book has been banned in so many areas. In fact, even Amazon, which is about half the books are sold in the whole country. So if you're not allowed to get an Amazon, and Amazon didn't have my book on because the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith works with Amazon. And if Amazon doesn't do that, they would work to trust bust the company and destroy it. And they would, factually. My books were even banned from banned book tables. And I have three books that are being banned. And they've been banned in dozens of countries. And I actually, in Czech Republic, they had a publisher that published my book there. They did it on their own. I was arrested. They tried to put those people in prison for just writing, for publishing my book.
There's no way you could get to all the stories this man has. I remember one we were breaking, we were having dinner. Anyway, we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Tear gas and water cannons have been deployed by riot police in Paris against protesters that are demonstrating in support of the Palestinians. Paris has a ban on social gathering. Some demonstrations in other French cities were peaceful. Other marches were held in London, Berlin, and the Netherlands following a week of intense fighting between Israel and the Palestinians. Some of the outrage directed at Israel follows the destruction of a high-rise building in Gaza City. One of them housed the offices of international media companies, including the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is calling the bombings a clear act to stop journalists from reporting on the conflict. Also targeted, according to the Israeli military, the home of a top Hamas leader. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
White House COVID Response Coordinator Andy Slavitt said the decision on Thursday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to ease mask mandates under certain conditions for people who are fully vaccinated has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with the science, the number of cases and deaths of COVID-19.
We've had a 30% drop in the last week or so. Secondly, there is evidence that the vaccines work at preventing the spread now, which many people suspected, but they now have some good data on.
He said they didn't find out until late on Wednesday that the CDC was going to announce the change. Also, the TSA and CDC have come out with a joint statement. They want to remind those who are traveling by plane, bus, train, or any other type of public transportation that you're still required to wear a mask, even if you've been vaccinated. According to the TSA website, people must wear a mask across all transportation networks through September 13th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you ever get a chance to talk to David Duke about what it was like growing up in the South during those halcyon days, he can tell you some good ones. And I've got a lot of memories, a lot of years with this guy. But regrettably, I was born too late for those incredible campaigns. I was 9 years old when David was elected to the House of Representatives, and obviously just a little bit older than that during his historic runs as the GOP nominee for governor of Louisiana. I mean, my God, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about a man who, with the entire array of enemy forces, the eye of Sauron firmly affixed upon him, receiving hundreds of thousands of votes, very nearly becoming the governor of Louisiana, very nearly becoming the United States senator out of Louisiana. These were not small-time races. These were as big as it gets and on the biggest stages. And I regret that I was born too late to enjoy those, but we have enjoyed many great memories together, hosting conferences together, sharing birthdays together, and even above and beyond all of that, a close personal family friend. So, David, I ask you, are we better or worse off now? You look back to those again, those historic races that you participated in, those historic campaigns, the internet wasn't around even then.
Right.
I mean, not as we know it now, not in the late 80s, in the early 90s.
I believe I would have been, especially when the internet was free, I think I would have become president. I mean, I would have won those races. And I almost did then. And in fact, this was 1990. And of course, that was Trump began, right, 4 years ago, basically a little over 4 years ago now. And so we're talking about 2016, and boy, it's amazing. I ran on a campaign similar to Trump, maybe even stronger, more clear, more direct, and on the same points. America First was my slogan. How about that? I worked against affirmative action. I said that we're gonna end up being a minority in our own country, outnumbered and outvoted in our own country. We're going to lose our gun rights. We're going to lose our freedoms of speech. We're going to have this insanity. And everything, of course, that I said actually came true, unfortunately. I wish to God that my predictions and prophecies would not have come true, but they have come true. And I guarantee you, except for some tricks, and if I would have had a little more money, of course, like Trump did, but we definitely could have won that election, and we came so close.
Well, that
close.
Was one of the things you told me. You know, we were together one night. We were talking about those campaigns, and you told me about how all of these, you know, blue-collar workers were in your camp, but that the pressure got to these corporations and to these companies, and they said if Duke wins, we're moving the entire company out of state. And so, you know, it was every dirty trick you could imagine.
Oh, yeah.
That was against this man, and he still very nearly pulled it off. But again, I ask you, let me ask you this succinctly.
Yeah, if we won the race for the U.S. Senate, if I'd gone to the Senate in 1990, I think within 2 years, much like we saw what happened with Obama, he came for the presidency quick, and I would have been able to run against Clinton. And even Clinton was stealing some of my program, like Workfare instead of Welfare.
Sure. Imagine
this. We would have won that election and gone to the presidency, and we might have been able to save this country before so much of this rot set in.
Speaking of the presidency, imagine this. The sitting president of the United States, George H.W. Bush, old man Bush, comes out to denounce his own party's nominee for United States Senate and governor. I mean, it's unprecedented what this man was able to do in his life. I mean,
support
it's like
a liberal
tale.
Leftist Democrat. I mean, total leftist Democrat. Corrupt one, too.
Here's the question, though. In what ways are we better and worse, or better or worse, than we were in 90?
Well, I think things have gotten so bad that white people are far more aware of the real issues that they've got to face up to. The biggest issue, of course, and I always preach this, and people say I talk about this issue too much, but it's the issue you've got to talk about. We're in this condition. We're not in the condition of the fact that we're becoming a minority in this country because the minorities did it. They didn't do it. In fact, the people who are inciting, you know, they didn't change the immigration laws. The immigrants didn't change the immigration laws. It was the people who were controlling this country, controlling the media, controlling the big money in both the Republican and Democratic Party. Remember, the Republican Party itself totally controlled the House and Senate for years, more than a decade. And Newt Gingrich, and he's still up there talking for the Republican Party, he didn't do a damn thing to stop this immigration laws. And he didn't do a damn thing even to stop Reagan from doing the first amnesty, which set up the process for the second. I mean, people think that Reagan was a great guy. He really wasn't. He betrayed us. He promised that he was against amnesty. Then he goes and does a huge amnesty bill in this country. And that's where it began. And it wasn't very long until Reagan and no conservative Republican could get elected in California. And of course, today it's impossible. And this is where Texas is heading. This is where Florida is heading. It's a matter of time, I hate to say it. But that's what's really going on here. But this is because our country was taken over a lot earlier. And this is because the people who control ABC, NBC, CBS, the three biggest networks in the world, the three biggest media conglomerates in the world are Comcast, Disney, and Viacom. Now, Disney at one time was a Christian, the last Christian holdout in Hollywood. But they called Disney a Nazi. They called Disney an anti-Semite and all the rest of it. They hate him. They got books saying this about Disney. But they ended up infiltrating the board, taking over the company. Now it's controlled by four Jewish executives. They're all Zionists. They're all leftists. They're all open borders. I mean, and now Disney is producing soft porn, right? And Disney's producing tranny shows for our little children. I mean, they got programs.
And I would say, too, Walt Disney himself was a modern-day hero, and he was certainly an innovator. Yeah. I mean, Walt Disney was an incredible American, and you're talking about a red state, rural, working-class guy who came up and was able to take them toe-to-toe. But, yes, I mean, now you see the change in the power structure, and the results have been predictable in their content.
That's right. So you asked me what's better, what's worse. Well, all of our rights are going down the drain. Our freedom of speech. We have three people who are controlling social media. Facebook. I call it Faceberg under Zuckerberg, a radical Zionist who works with the ADL, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And I hope by now all your listeners know what the ADL is, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. It's a Jewish organization that fights for the Jewish state of Israel. And in fact, even Tucker exposed them the other night, how they want to preserve their demographic majority in Israel. But the same organization was demanding that Tucker get fired simply because he said that, you know, we need to stop this immigration because what they're trying to do is dilute American voters, which they are. It's all on the basis of demographics. They were even bragging when Biden won that the demographic change is what was one of the biggest differences between the last election and this election. Just in those 4 years, they know exactly what they're doing. And so it's, you know, the Comcast is run by a guy named, his grandfather's real name was Mirsky, name changed it to Roberts, big pro-Zionist. It's even sponsored by one of these big Jewish publications talking about how loyal he is to Israel and loyal he is to the Jewish people. And he's working with the ADL. Then we have Disney, which is now controlled by Iger and Chapek and Straussman. They're all four of the top executives, the very top executives, controllers of Disney, are all Jews, Jewish Zionists. And then we have Viacom, which is the third one. That's CBS. So now we got ABC, Disney, we got CBS, Of course, Disney also controls the History Channel. That's why we get all this anti-Confederate, anti-Southern crap on television all the time on the Disney Channel. But this is the reality of life. And we've been occupied. And that's what I try to tell people. You know, they've occupied the American media and the American political fundraising scape. They've occupied the bureaucrats of Washington, D.C. They led the impeachment of Donald Trump entirely. I mean, it was Schiff, it was Engel, and it was Nadler. And on the Senate side, of course, it was Schumer. And Schumer does speeches to the ADL saying that his name is Schumer, which means guardian. I'm guardian of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, not America, not New York, but Israel. That's why we're in this condition.
So again, better or worse? I mean, probably worse overall. But there are signs. There are signs of our people awakening, and those can be documented, and those are real. We'll talk more about that next week. I actually have a segment coming up next week. But before that, much more to come with David Duke tonight. So stay tuned.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids, long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have him right here, the pride of New Orleans, the pride of Louisiana, the former member of the House of Representatives, former gubernatorial nominee for the Republican Party and nominee for the Republican Party for the United States Senate, David Duke. Man, what a life. What a guy. What a friend. People who know my story know that I got my start working with Buchanan back in the late 90s, in 2000. Ran my own campaign for the very same seat, the equivalent seat here in Tennessee that David won in 1989 in Louisiana. And it was because of that that we actually became acquainted, and I sent him some letters, and we became engaged in some correspondence there, and he invited me down to a meeting in 2004, a conference that he was hosting, and I think that was one thing. Perhaps that one meeting also cinched my trajectory. It was at that meeting in the spring of 2004 that I met so many people who had played such an integral part in my development as an activist and as a leader. And this was actually even a few months before the show first went on the air. This was in, I believe, May of 2004. My first time in New Orleans, if you can believe it. And it was later that year, in October of 2004, that we first went on the air. But it was at that conference that I met, of course, David for the first time, Sam Dixon, Paul Fromm, so many great leaders, Nick Griffin, on and on and on, who would play a role in my development. And so, yes, I mean, you can't separate who we are and what this program is from the giants upon whose shoulders we stand. And that is a legacy worth mentioning. DavidDuke.com. DavidDuke.com is the website. David holds down the fort Monday through Friday there at the Rinse Radio Network. We're on Saturday, so we've got 6 of the 7 days nailed down. We rest on the Sabbath, of course. But a couple of emails that have come in. Well, actually, several emails. We'll only read a couple of them. This comes from Bill, David. Dear David Duke, thank you for everything you do. You have paved the way for so many of us, including me, in the efforts to awaken whites. I am trying to become a leader. James and Keith are lucky to be able to consider you a friend. I have been a fan of you since I was 12 years old, and I just recently read your book. I am 16 now, and I work out at the gym to become a warrior. Thank you for giving pro-whites the direction and encouraging us to become the best we can possibly be. That comes from Bill. And we're going to actually be talking about fitness in the next hour, so stay tuned for that. That's an important message. But a 16-year-old tuned in tonight to you, and that's his message. A very quick response to that, and I want to get to something that we need to get to topical, but that was an email worth sharing your response.
I think that's wonderful, and I'll tell you something. This is my message to everybody, young or old. The first task that you have is to make yourself strong and healthy. Get rid of your addictions. Get rid of your weaknesses. Be strong. Be healthy, live a moral life, make your body strong, keep your mind strong and educated, and definitely stand up with courage for this cause, because there's no more time left. If you don't stand up now, we don't really start making sacrifices and carry this message to our people, there's no chance of us to save everything. And by the way, before we go any further, thank you for all the accolades that you've given me, James. But I tell you, I've heard about a new legend that's coming out of Memphis now.
What, the Mississippi Bridge collapsing?
Yep. The bridge. You're such the new story is that I'm hearing is that you're such a political heavyweight. Now, I'm not talking about your body weight. I'm talking about the truth that you carry in Memphis. That you were walking across the bridge and the whole damn thing cracked.
You know, that was something we were going to get to tonight, but we didn't have the time with you taking an extended interview, and we were covering the ominous anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education decision in the first hour. But yes, I mean, we're going to get to this next week, but since he mentioned it, I wasn't the reason for it, but
I've heard the truth that you decided you were going to take a stroll across the bridge, and as soon as you got to the middle section, just the weight of the truth that you teach on this program and in the city of Memphis, it just cracked the bridge.
Well, this is
that's the crack. It's like it's going to be like the Liberty Bell. It's going to be the crack on the Mississippi Bridge that was done by James Edwards.
Yeah, we're gonna need Davy Crockett to come back and patch it up just like he did the Liberty Bell. But
Davy Crockett can't do it. Maybe David Duke can do it.
That's right. Hey, I'll tell you, if there's one person that could, this is, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is an incredible national story. This is, yeah, we do have some good news. But this thing with the bridge is incredible. The Hernando de Soto Bridge, and Hernando de Soto, you know, another Spanish conquistador, yeah. That's a guy we can, I don't know how long it's going to be before they rename the bridge. But anyway, this is one of the most critical interstate arteries in the country. The I-40 bridge that connects Tennessee to Arkansas at downtown Memphis, it collapsed this week. I mean, it didn't fall into the water, but they were so afraid that it would. They have shut down the bridge. The most critical beam in this bridge has faulted and cracked. I mean, cracked clear through, clear severed through, like you just sawed through it. They yeah. won't even allow barge traffic to travel underneath it. So imagine the Mississippi River. They can't even get – and here we are in Memphis, David Duke down in New Orleans. Barges can't even traverse the Mississippi River. There's nowhere for them to go. They've shut down all traffic for anywhere between 2 months
I think
months
they finally opened
year.
The barges.
One of the most
I think. Yeah,
they did just open the barge. Okay, so they did just open the barges, but the commercial traffic and, of course, the pedestrian traffic will not be traversing that bridge, one of the most critical and heavily trafficked bridges in this nation, for anywhere between 2 months to 1 year. That is unfathomable. That is third world stuff.
Well, I have a strong suspicion that this kind of stuff didn't used to happen, but this was a federal, you know, some partly funded project. And we know the city of Memphis has been having affirmative action programs for a long time, and the police department and everything. And so I'm figuring that it was these people they were hiring who were not really good engineers who made some real serious mistakes, because you hardly ever hear of a major bridge like this in a major artery.
Oh, yeah, this isn't crossing some creek. This is one of the most critical pieces of infrastructure in the entire country, and no traffic is going to be able. I-40, Interstate 40, is one of the major thoroughfares of this entire nation, and Memphis is the distribution hub of America. That's why it's centrally located. It's why FedEx is here. You can't travel the major interstate. This is an incredible story, but I don't want to get bogged down in it just yet, because there is something we need to cover with only 5 minutes remaining. I know we got to shift to fitness in the next hour, we've been playing a lot of music tonight. So in the first hour, we were playing songs from 1954. With David Duke, we're playing songs relative to his part of the.
All right, one of the greatest singers is Van Morrison. You know, everybody knows Brown Eyed Girl and everything. He's one of the biggest musical phenoms in the country. He's getting older now. I think he's older than I am, and that's old. But he's got new songs out. He's got a song called They Own the Media, all about how the media is teaching us lies, and they own the media. It doesn't have three parentheses around it, but it does say they. But it's interesting, and the Jerusalem Post and all these Jewish papers have attacked him as anti-Semite. Because he said they own the media and they control the media.
David, I got to say this. Pardon the interruption, but I'm reading one of these articles right now. So Van Morrison, everybody knows Van Morrison's music. Heavyweight in the 60s. Best-selling, one of the best-selling artists of all time. But he came out with this new album, and on it, there's two tracks, actually. One is called Western Man, and one is called They Control the Media. And,
another one is called Where Did All the Rebels Go? Where did all the
They're right here on the air. They're on the air right now. Here we are. But listen to this one line from this article refuting Van Morrison's song, They Control the Media. And this is what I read. The myth that Jews control the media is one of the most popular and ugliest anti-Semitic canards in history. The myth.
Yeah. Well, it's like the myth they control Hollywood. Is that one of the myths?
I always say about this is, you know, I read what they said about their control of it, and I believed it.
Yeah,
because they've written about it themselves.
Exactly. Anyway, let me give you some of the lyrics in this song. It goes, it says, they tell us that ignorance is bliss. I guess those who control the media, it is. They own the media. They control the stories we are told. If you ever try to go against them, you'll be ignored, because they control the narrative. They perpetuate the myth. They keep on telling you lies, tell you ignorance is bliss. Believe it all, and you'll never get wise to the truth, because they control everything you do. They control everything you do. They control the narrative. They perpetuate the myth. And another song he's got is called Western Man. And that goes, Western Man has no plan because he became complacent. He stopped believing in himself. Let others steal his rewards while he was dreaming. While he was dreaming, others were scheming. doing deals behind his back. Now Western Man is adrift and under attack. What happened in between? And that's really exactly what happened. Well, white people who ran this country, overwhelmed, we were the elite of the country, the science, the art, the literature, the music, the architecture, the greatness of Western civilization. We were dreaming about going to the moon, going into outer space and solving the genome and all these other things, while they were scheming behind our backs deceptively, taking over the country. Yeah.
We only have about a minute left, less than that, this hour, and we got to switch to fitness. I wonder, firstly, what led Van Morrison to have this epiphany at the end of his life? And also, in this article I'm reading, it says, Van Morrison, you don't want to be in the same camp with David Duke. This puts you in the same arena with David Duke.
Oh, I haven't read this one. You have to send me a copy.
I'll send it to you. I'm reading it right now. I'm looking at it as we speak.
I have a feeling that, you know, he can't say anything publicly like this, but I think he'd be proud to be in my camp, because I've been saying what he's been saying
for so many years.
They're lying about him now, and they've lied about me my entire life as well. So there you go. They lied about Trump, and they lie about me. You know, I'm no different than any of these people in that I believe in Western Christian civilization, and I'm going to fight for it honestly and openly.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Listen, better late than never, Van Morrison. I've always liked Brown Eyed Girl. I sang that to my wife. You know my wife, Danny. Sang it to her on our anniversary on a cruise ship, and on our honeymoon, I should say. I guess that was our first anniversary, maybe. But anyway, love that song. Love Van Morrison. Wow. Late bloomer, but he really came out strong with They Control the Media and Western Man here on his latest album. We'll be back to talk about fitness with David Duke